Welcome to the intersection of technology, cybersecurity, and society. Welcome to ITSB Magazine. Every company has a story to tell, from the small startup to the large enterprise, and everything in between. This is one of them. Knowledge is power, now more than ever.
Here we are, Marco.
Sean, I'm excited to get going with this story.
Exactly. It's the future history of the data world, part two.
Book two. Is it a trilogy or are we going to stop at book two? We'll see.
You never know what can happen there. We definitely have a second conversation in store for us today with our good friend Ron Bennington from Imperva. Ron, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
If you're listening to this and you haven't had a chance to listen to our first chat with Ron, you're missing out. Don't stop this one, but certainly go back and listen to part one of this conversation. We get a chance to wrap up 30 years of Ron's life in tech and security, and figure out how we ended up where we are today in the beautiful bliss that we live in of this world of data protection and system protection, all most of it driven by the cloud, it seems. But the future
magic.
Is now,
and
it's all magic, Mark.
It's all magic. It's all magic, and that's why we tell stories about
exactly.
that.
But and if then we know anything,
until it's not, until it's about
exactly.
humans.
Well, if we know anything, nothing stays the same, certainly with technology. So today I want to get inside Ron's head again and figure out where things are headed. Tech-wise, human-wise, business-wise, data-wise, all that stuff. And what does that future world look like? So, Ron, maybe quickly to refresh folks' minds on who you are, quick bit about your role and what you're up to.
Okay. So I'm the general manager for data security in Imperva. You know, we're one of the biggest companies in the space of application and data security. I think we might be the only one that kind of looks at this, holistic protection of the data, all paths to the data. And I've been a data security guy for like 30 years. So I've kind of gone through all of these technological transformations, and now we're, of course, in the biggest one of all. And very exciting times, I think, to be in this space because, you know, it is all about the data. That's on one side. The protection is not getting less important. It's just getting more and more important. It might be the single most important thing that could slow us down. So it's a great time to... Not to say to be alive, but to be working in this space where, you know, it's both magical, like you say, because things are accelerating so quickly, but also really important. I really feel like what we're doing is important.
Yeah, 30 years of time to be involved in this. You've had a few bites of data cross your path over these 30 years, I'm sure. So I want to kick this off with something that I unfortunately didn't get a chance to read the article, but it crossed my feed that the floppy disk is making a comeback.
Okay.
And it's not a joke. It's not a joke. And so, I mean, that's where I want to go figure out is what does the future look like in terms of technology? Are we really going back to things like floppy disks because we can't figure out what to do with all the new tech that we have in a security? It was in the context of security, by the way.
Yeah.
The first question I have is we've made a lot of transition to from on-prem to the cloud and using cloud-enabled services and apps and APIs and all the stuff that we talked about last time. What does the future look like, Ron? Is it a world where only cloud? Or is it something different? What does the legacy stuff have a role to play in the future of running businesses and keeping society going.
So I think words matter. Okay. I think it's important for us to kind of, before answering that question, I think it's important to understand the semantics or the meaning or what is it when we say cloud? Okay. When you say, is it going to be only cloud? First of all, you know, everybody talks about digital transformation, and I don't think there's any company that's not somewhere in this path of digital transformation. But I could just as easily call it data transformation, because digital transformation, it really is about the data architecture and the data fabric. And when you look at, okay, what is cloud? What do we mean by cloud? Okay, and you say, you started by talking about hybrid, and now you're saying legacy. So, you know, I would assert that it is all about the data architecture and the data fabric and how we compose things. And I do believe that everything will be cloud. Now, it doesn't mean that everything's going to be AWS. What I think is those attributes of what cloud implies to us, what it means to us, needs to just permeate everything. Okay. We need to copy the things that Amazon and Microsoft and Google did. And actually that's what we're doing, right? I mean, if you look at what the modern enterprise looks like on-prem, in-house, okay, what are they building now? They're building something that looks exactly like a cloud. It doesn't have to be on the cloud, but it is a cloud. Okay. When you look at, you know, why is everybody so enamored and busy with Kubernetes, and everything is Kubernetes, right? And you know why? It is because the structures that we have on cloud are just so much more efficient for delivery of applications, for delivery of features, for delivery of things that, you know, our consumers want to get, that we can't afford to have anything else. Okay. Over time, it all has to look like this. It doesn't all have to live on some cloud provider, but it all should look like this. And it doesn't even, I mean, you know, it could be running on a mainframe, but it should look like this. It should have these attributes. It should allow us to bring things up very quickly. It should require us to be able to rehydrate things very quickly. It should allow us to scale differently. Okay. And yes, I believe that what we're talking about with cloud, and again, I'm saying the definition is a broad definition. Yes, it all should look like this. It all should be that. And of course, it's very different to what we have, right? So we need to take all our legacy stuff and we need to transform it. Now, you know, I'll talk about security in a second on what that means to security. What do we on the security side need to do in order for that to happen? But people are doing it. People are moving everything into cloud, right? This concept of cloud first. Okay. It started with cloud first. Okay. Then there was born on cloud. And it's all about incentive, right? So I have customers who have two architectures. Okay. And one is on their hybrid cloud, which is a combination of public and on-prem. And one is kind of legacy. And you can get a virtual machine on either, right? I mean, it's more than just, is it a VM or not a VM? Okay. But what they do is, if you want it on the legacy one, it costs you triple. Okay. Because it's all chargebacks. Okay. So what's going to happen if on this platform, it costs you a third of this platform and you have a fixed budget, then of course you're going to build it here. But if you're going to build it here, you have to build it in a certain way. It's like, you can't do whatever you want. You have to go by certain design patterns and some of those things are about security. So for example, if you say, okay, we're going to be only cloud. Okay. So what does that mean? We're going to have combination of services on other clouds and services on our own internal cloud. but we need to administer policy. Okay, so you asked me kind of what does the future look? Okay, what does policy mean let's take a very basic thing, okay, an access control policy. So you look at the legacy world, and what you have is something that's kind of a mess, right? Everything has a policy to it, right? Every system has a way to define access control rules. What we need to do on the security side, on cloud, for example, is to have some way of consistency around policy, okay? So that we don't have like 18 different ways to define policy, but only this person can define this policy, and only this person can define this policy. And there's no way to define what this means to this and what this means to that. And we have, you know, we have firewall rules, and we have IP table rules, and we have database access control rules. And so that's an example. That's what the future looks like. Like everything in cloud, cloud is consistency. It's uniformity. It's something that you can roll out as part of code. Okay, you can express it as code, and it becomes part of your delivery process, not part of something that somebody has a checklist and did you make sure you did this? Did you make sure you did that? No, it has to be baked into the stack. And that's why I think that everything needs to be cloud, is that those underlying patterns, those underlying principles are so important that they should preempt everything else.
So it's kind of like a vision where you're like, everything needs to be coordinated. There's got to be a synergy in everything you do. Like, that's what a hybrid is. It's not that I can't say I have a hybrid car if it's one engine is it's gas and one engine is electric, and I just use it. You know, I just start one or the other.
Well, I'm going to use the gas one today.
I'll tell you something that blows my mind every time. I live in Boston. Okay, mm-hmm. I live in Boston. In Boston, you know, there's these. The MBTA has, it's kind of like a subway, but most of it is overground. And then there's something called the Silver Line. Silver Line goes from South Station to the airport. It's a bus. It's as though it's a subway. Okay. That bus has two engines. It has an electric engine and it has a gas engine. But it's not seamless, meaning the bus starts from South Station. It goes using electric lines. Then it stops. The driver goes out. This connects. No, seriously. The two things that go up, okay, comes back in and starts the gas engine goes. That's not cloud. Okay.
Yeah. And I was actually making a joke. I didn't know
it's
that.
It's not a joke. It exists.
So
maybe a joke to some.
here's an engineering and also vocabulary lesson. Hybrid needs to work at the same time, right? When it recharges, it goes, and you use electric when you need it, gas when you need it, and so on. So, okay. Exactly. Yep. That's a patch, maybe,
yes.
in the best case scenario. So to say that, I was going to go into more of a scenario where you look at from a security perspective, like the policies and everything. Like, let's look at what the business perspective means. What does moving to the cloud means for a business? What are the opportunities the business can have by using the cloud?
I mean, you know, the business cares about, you know, speed to market, speed to delivery, you know, and of course, delighting the customers. Okay, that's what the business cares about. So this is what drives business, and this is why cloud is just so, you know, great, because it allows you to do all these things. But the business also cannot, you know, or I'll say the cost of doing business is that all this happens or needs to happen safely. Okay. Because if you run quickly into a chasm, okay, and you destroy your reputation or you compromise your consumer data, or, you know, that's not good. So the business does care that all this is done safely. But the business at that point, now we start dealing with people, okay? Because now I mean, it's no different than just in general. Used to be that, you know, before we had the concept of DevOps, right? So we have we had developers and we had the operations, and one group would throw it over the fence of the other group, and they would go and do their piece. And we realized that doesn't work. It has to be part of one seamless thing for us to go quickly. Same thing is now with security. We understand that this idea of, you know, let's develop everything, deploy everything, and then the security guys are going to come in and they're going to do whatever they need to do. That doesn't work, especially if you want something that is so repeatable, okay, and so quick. I mean, what the business needs, for example, is the fact that, you know, many businesses are now delivering updates at a rate, you know, of once per week, okay? Once per week. And it doesn't even matter if it's one per week or once per month or once per 3 months. It is an order of magnitude faster than what we always thought as possible. But what that means is that you cannot have long checklists and a lot of dependencies between different groups of people and different processes if you need something to go at that cadence. And therefore, you must have it baked into the stack. So your security control. So if the business is going faster but wants to be safe, the security controls have to be baked in from the beginning. The way that you manage policy has to be baked in from the beginning. And this is where things like zero trust comes from, right? Because we used to always build a lot of the, like, okay, take things like insider threat. A lot of the models were based on trust but verify, okay? So because, you know, you're my admins, you're my insider, I trust you because you have pretty much every privilege in the world, but I'll verify that you're not, you know, you're not messing up. But that's too slow. We can't do that. We cannot verify, okay? Because what does verify means? It means we need to collect information. We need to analyze information. We need to run analytics. Too slow. So we need to change the game. We need to say, how do I give you what you need, but only what you need, in a way that, you know, I'm managing the risk up front and not through a verification process? So what's happening is, like, this is all about what the future looks like, okay? If the future of what the business needs is changing, it's not going to work with exactly the same methods. Now, again, you know, it's not like everything is new. People have been doing these things for years, but now everybody needs to start doing it. Not just, you know, we always have kind of the, you know, the top 5% of companies that are out there that are thinking, but now everybody needs to do this. And that's a big transformation on not just the data side, but the security of the data side.
Yeah. And Ron, I want to go to the data. I know we could either go data or people with what you just described. I'm going to stick with data for a moment. I'm going to go back to your bus scenario, and I'm going to say that the data is the fuel in that bus scenario. So it started as electric data, and then it transitioned to petrol or fuel-based data. And so in that scenario, the data feed stopped, right? And something had to happen, some manual steps had to take place to transition that process from one feed to another. And using that same example, that the build cycle, right, to change that, to make that entire line electric or to scrap the electric and make it all gasoline-based, is long and expensive, and who knows what the right path is. It's obviously electric might be better, but how do we make that decision as a business, as a city, right? So I guess my question is the role of data in the future and data models, and how does that fit in this uniformity example that you're, or a scenario that you're painting.
So look, the data, you're right. Data is the fuel, right? Because there's no applications without the data, and there's no features we give to anybody without managing their, I mean, you know, there's entire industries that all they do is manage data. That's all they do. Okay. The entire financial services industry is just the data processing, is a set of companies that do data processing. Okay. So it is all about the data. You know, for us as people who build applications that use data, uniformity does not mean that we have a single data repository, for example. It's exactly the opposite, right? I mean, the way things are going is, you know, 10 years ago, we had 10 data repositories. Today, we have 300, okay? 300 mainstream ones, okay? So it's not that, you know, and we're getting very innovative about, you know, how we manage the data. We put some things in indexes and some things in relational and some things in NoSQL and some things in big data systems. It's not that we're making things uniformly. We allow the business to use whatever fabric they want to use while creating some consistency and uniformity around how we provide safety around using those repositories, how we do protection, how we ensure privacy, and how we allow them to respond to regulators that are constantly adding compliance requirements. So on the one side, the business can go and choose their, you know, optimal, perfect way of managing data and creating the data model, but A, not add risk, and B, not add complexity. Because if you tell the business, hey, you can use 300 different types, but you know, you're going to manage 300 different ways of protecting this data, you know, that's never going to work. That's never going to work.
So I'm going to keep the Boston's going to hate us with this metro thing. So the people, right? Okay, so we can have the infrastructure, we can have a work hybrid, or we can have the driver to get out and switch the engine, right? And people waiting on the bus that this happened because it has to stop. They're wasting time, whatever it is.
And the air conditioner stops, by the way, when it does that switch. Air conditioning.
And that's not good in the winter. That's not good in the winter either in Boston because it gets cold. So the point is, there is the people that are in between. There are, as part of the business, there are the consumers. They are the everyday users. So how do people adapt to this, to these new models and to this scenario for the future? What's the vision for that?
Okay, so you know very well that people are more complicated than technology.
Oh yeah.
And some of these things are quite disruptive. Okay, some of these things are disruptive. I'll give you an example. And because we talked about policy, so I'll stick with policy. Mm-hmm. So in a data environment, say that I have a database or a big data system or anything like that, and I ask you the question, okay, in the organization, who should be responsible for the access control policy of the data? Okay, it's a very complex answer. It's a simple question, but it's not a simple answer, because in some cases the underlying kind of technology is so complicated and so specialized that the only people who understand it are the people who are administering that service. And so sometimes they administer the policy, but they shouldn't be administering this policy, right? It should be part of the security group that is managing this. So technically, moving that policy around or moving who is responsible for a policy is possible. It's not that hard. We do it. Okay, but now what happens is you're telling people, you are no longer responsible for this. You are responsible for this. Or, okay. And that creates a disruption, because now you're moving the cheese. Okay, you're moving the cheese. If you're moving the cheese, it gets a little harder. So when you're looking at this now to the business, it's good. And that doesn't mean that it's going to be easy. So the trick is, you need to do it in a way that you're actually making everybody's life easier. So people will do it and will support it and will want it if their life gets better. And so I think that, or the thing that I'm seeing a lot is, if you look at the space in general, there's security, there's compliance, there's risk management, and there's privacy. Now, they're all interconnected, but sometimes people do a project around this or a project around this. When you do four different projects, it's very hard to create that win-win situation. But when you look at things together, and when you say something like, hey, you know you have to adhere to GDPR, and you need to adhere to, you know, you need to be able to service a data subject access request, and you know that's difficult. Hey, we can make it easy, but in making it easy, we're going to move this from here to here, because then it allows us, we can automate it. Suddenly putting these things together allows everybody to benefit. And so the way to solve the people thing is just, it's really about making it data centric, not thinking of security, risk management, compliance, this. You say, oh no, this is this kind of data. I can define attributes around this data, and I can drive things based on the attributes of the data. So don't think about policy, for example, as RBAC, as role-based access control. Think of it as attribute-based access control. And those attributes are also the things that drive the privacy side of things. So now everybody starts to benefit from this. And then you don't get into this, well, you know, why are they taking this or taking that? Because my life is getting better.
Yeah. And Ron, this is very, and correct me if I'm wrong, but very practitioner oriented and leadership to some degree. But I'm wondering, what are you doing, you, your team, your organization, to help the business as a whole kind of transform their mindset to what this future holds for them? Because it could very easily get into the tactical stuff of, is this an RBAC policy or an attribute based policy, and why?
Yeah.
But it's a bigger mindset. So how are you helping your customers and potentially others make this transition, both digitally and also in their mindset?
So, you know, I don't want to presume too much about our role or my role, because I don't, you know, I wish we were the ones making this happen, but we're not. Okay. What we really are two things. Is one, we allow them to achieve this transformation with less hurdles. Okay. With less hurdles. And it used to be that, okay, we wanted to move this application workload from on-prem to cloud, but because of all these security controls and compliance issues, no, you can't do it. Or no, you're ready to go live, but you can't, because we have to put this, 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 and this, and you didn't think about it, and now it's another 3 months. We make that not happen. Okay, so we remove roadblocks. We remove roadblocks. We allow the business to go quickly by taking care of the safety and the protection as part of this journey, as opposed to as something that costs more money or takes more time. So we just show them how to do this in a safe way, okay? And the second is that safety, okay? I think that, you know, the notion of doing something, I mean, there are the complexity of what's going on right now. You know, even in just compliance and regulations is sometimes insane. Okay, you can easily have different regulations which are conflicting. One says delete the data. One says don't delete the data. Okay, what do I do? One, I must comply with this. Okay, so again, it becomes a roadblock. It becomes a roadblock because now you get a bunch of lawyers who go into a room and now they argue and you know, can I put this data here? Can I not? If we give somebody a blueprint and we give them the answers instead of you know, then they avoid all this. So I don't think I wish I could tell you that, you know, we are what makes the business provide all these great things. We just allow them to do what they can do and want to do in a safe way. That's really
it's not little.
It's not little, but it's also not.
Let's be realistic about that.
We're not curing cancer, okay? We're not curing cancer.
Let's face the reality. Security has become the department of no, and organizations either listen to that and don't transform, or they don't listen to it and they transform with perhaps unacceptable risk. And what I hear you say is there's a nice solid middle ground where there you is. Can understand the risk, move forward without a lot of headache, and achieve your business objectives. And to me, that's huge. I mean, that's what we talk about all the time is how do we make security an enabler of the business versus a roadblock? Yeah. And if we can eliminate the transfer of electric to gas in a process,
here we go again.
without a lot of legal involvement and policy work, and I mean, hallelujah, right? That's what it's all about.
You know, the key of what Ron said that struck to my head as from a business perspective is that when you say blueprint, right? Blueprint means there is a vision, there is an architecture, there is a goal, and you can't just start moving stuff around randomly, right? I mean, exactly. that goes a long way.
We have shredded fabric, to bring it in the other term that you
exactly.
use.
Yeah. It is so much what cloud is. I mean, what is cloud? It is the right blueprint, it's the right structure. You know, you can't do whatever the hell you want. This is what you do. And I think that giving that structure pre-built with security, with compliance, with privacy, I mean, that's phenomenal. Yeah. It's just, you know, it's like the easy button, right? It's the easy button.
And this is a great vision to close, in my opinion, in a look for a future that is not this sci-fi, who knows what is going to happen. It's more a message to say, look, a step at a time, but knowing where we're going. And that's, for me, it's what I take from this wonderful conversation, which we also have a lot of, you know, a good fun. And I think we went philosophical and business and all that it needed, hopefully, for educate, entertain. And Sean, again, I hope people are going to go back and also listen to the first part of the conversation, which has a life on its own. You don't have to, but I think there was some great point there as well.
Absolutely. Part one and part two, individually, together, I guarantee will make you think about stuff and maybe want you or prompt you to visit that rail station.
One is electric, one is gas. Sorry, Boston. We love you.
We'll stop picking on that. In all seriousness, Ron, absolute pleasure as always. Yes. And I like getting philosophical and tactical both in the same conversation. And you're always welcome. Happy to have you on again. Perhaps I have something brewing in my head already. See if we can make that happen. I'm not going to tease it yet. But thanks a million for the story and for your view of the future and your role in helping to make it possible.
Thanks, Sean. Thanks, Mark.
Thank you.
enjoyed this conversation, if you learned something new and the story made you think, then share ITSBmagazine.com with your friends, family, and colleagues. We hope you will come back for more stories and follow us on our journey. You can always find us at the intersection of technology, cybersecurity, and society.